to another episode of Purple Insider. Matthew Collar here, along with Chad Graff of The Athletic. And because other media rooms are taken, I'm sitting on the floor. And we're going to do some fun things with this podcast. Chad, what's going on, buddy?
I'm excited. I like the visual that you're painting as we're in this glorified closet sitting on the floor. So things are going well here on day three of training camp.
The reason that I'm using a chair as a desk is because I have my computer in front of me. And on my computer, I have created a Vikings 2021 hype survey. So if anyone ever used to read magazines, this thing that used to exist at grocery stores that you would buy, sometimes in the back of those magazines, you would have like, here's a test to figure out what kind of lover you are. Agree or to disagree, 1 to 5. So that's what I've created for you, and that's where we're going to start. And then I've got a few other questions.
Okay,
for
I
you.
Love that. I do think there's a way to relate that perhaps to a younger generation. This is BuzzFeed's "Which Disney Princess Are You?" Of the Vikings.
Yes. Yeah. So how hyped are you about the 2021 Minnesota Vikings? I have 8 questions.
Okay.
And here's kind of how it goes. So if you score below a 10, well, let me count it down from the top. If you score above a 35 on this, 8 questions, 1 to 5, that means Super Bowl. If it's between 30 and 35, multiple playoff wins. 25 to 30 is a wild card win. 20 to 25 is a wild card loss. 15 to 20 is barely missed the playoffs. 10 to 15 is everyone is fired. And below 10 is did the roof collapse?
The birds fly through the roof?
Yes, right.
I'm going to predict that I will score a 24. That's my early prediction. Okay. I've seen none of the questions.
Gotcha.
Don't know how it's going to work, but I think right around that wild card loss is where I'm thinking going into the season.
Okay, so play along at home. It's a 40 is the highest score. Obviously, 5 would be the lowest since it's 1 through 5. So you have to answer every question with 1 is strongly disagree,
okay.
5 is strongly agree, and then that's the range in between there. So 1 to 5.
And okay? Tweet your scores after. I'll be curious how many people are at like 7 and how many are at 38.
Yeah, I think you should get past 7 just based on there is kind of a free space question at the end. All right, so the first question is, comment, and then you answer if you agree or disagree, is these injuries early in camp are no big deal. 1 is disagree, 5 is strongly agree.
These injuries in camp are no big deal.
No big deal. So you either disagree, which is closer to 1, or you strongly agree that they're no big deal with a 5. So if it's no big deal at all, it's a 5.
For now, I'm going to say a 5. Michael Pierce has already surprised me by what he's done. Danielle Hunter, who I thought was going to be eased it. Well, no, as I'm talking it through, a 4, and I'll give you my one reason. But there's a lot of optimism, including that Cam Dantzler's out there. Danielle Hunter looks like the Danielle Hunter of old. Michael Pierce is practicing. There's a lot of reasons for optimism. The one knock, and it frightens me because I think it could become a giant knock, is Christian Darrisaw is not practicing. This could drag on. It won't surprise me for more than a week. It will not surprise me. In fact, I wouldn't expect him to play in the first preseason game. And if Christian Darrisaw is not facing an NFL defensive end, which he hasn't done yet because he was injured through organized team activities in minicamp, if he's not facing an NFL D end until 2 weeks, 3 weeks out from the regular season, how's he going to beat Rashad Hill for that job? So the more Darrisaw sits out, the more I think that he probably won't be the starting left tackle.
Are you talking yourself back from 4 the
I
other direction?
I from 5 to 4. I'm going to hold at 4.
Okay.
Because I don't think that Darrisaw to Hill is too drastic, so I'm going to stick with 4 for now.
Okay. I'm going to give my answers too and take my own survey. I'm going to go with a 3 here. I'm going to say that I think that the Darrisaw one and the fact that Westbrook wasn't ready to go right away, we're talking about starting a little bit behind in training camp. So, also Hunter coming back, he looks okay these first couple of days, not in pads, but we don't really know. And with everything relying on Hunter, and there is, I think, a lot of reliance on Michael Pierce, 340-pound guy hurts his calf right away. I'm going to go 3 because I don't think it's like panic level, but I think it is. I think it's a thing. Okay. Second statement. Kirk Cousins is capable of taking the team to another level. You strongly agree at 5. You strongly disagree at 1.
So Kirk Cousins has proven that he can take them to a borderline top 10 offense, somewhere around maybe 8 if you're really generous, and 11, 12 if you're more pessimistic, to another level than that. Essentially, do I think that they can be like the number 5 offense in the NFL? I don't think so. He's got a ton of weapons. The offensive line is a concern to me. Having a first-time play caller is a concern to me. So for all of those reasons, I'll go 3 here.
Okay, you're going to go 3. I'm going to go 2. And the reason I'm going to go 2 is because I think that the level we've seen from 2019 and 2020 is the level. That's about where their offense is going to be. And whether they make the playoffs, how deep they go, will pretty much rely on if Mike Zimmer gets the defense back up to where it was expected to be, if the kicking is good, if the fumbles go their way. But another level from this to be in the area of where Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, to fly in that high air, because right now they're like second tier offense. And seeing them go to another level, I don't really know. And if you take that as another level of win a divisional round and get to the NFC Championship, I'm going to have to see that one too, because we have a pretty big sample size of that not happening. So I'm going to go 2. You're going to go 3. So right away, my 2021 hype test is a little bit lower.
I've got you at a 5 right now, two okay. questions in.
And let me add yours in. So you're at a 7. Okay. Judging by how happy Mike Zimmer has been, this is number 3, I think they can be a top 5 defense. You either strongly agree at 5 or strongly disagree at 1.
I'm starting to feel like a homer, but this is my first 5. And, you know, Mike Zimmer's delight, I think, stems from the fact that when you look at what their options were this offseason, there was going to be an area that they could not address just because of the money that they had, the resources that they had. That area, for better or worse, was the offensive line. The offensive line did not get better, perhaps got worse. We'll see how it ends up. But on the flip side, they brought in 4, call it, starting caliber defensive ends with Weatherly and the 3, or defensive linemen with Weatherly and the 3 defensive tackles. They brought in 3 starting caliber cornerbacks. They brought in their new starting safety. Like, this defense not only brought all of that, they now have Barr healthy, Kendricks healthy, Hunter healthy. I don't see any reason why they can't be a top 5 defense.
Okay, top 5 to me is just a little too aggressive.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a 3 here, because I think that there is a chance that they are a top 5 defense, but without any more pass rush than Richardson as a situational rusher and Danielle Hunter coming off neck surgery, the fact that they're relying on a 31-year-old Patrick Peterson, who even from what he says did not have a good year last year, I do think Zimmer and his adaptation, which has been a main topic here among our press conferences, mostly my fault, but I mean, I think that Zimmer is good at this, as good at taking the things that were going wrong for his system and changing them year after year to be good. I just think that the top 5 level is a little much for a team that's relying on some things to go right for them. And they do have a pretty tough quarterback schedule now that Aaron Rodgers is back. If Aaron Rodgers was not back, I would say, okay, 2 games against Jordan Love, 2 games against maybe Justin Fields or Andy Dalton, 2 games against Jared Goff. Like, yeah, they can be that. I'm going to say with Rodgers that I'm more thinking that they crack the top 10, but maybe not the top 5.
I'm starting to feel like I perhaps have had too much purple Kool-Aid. I was just looking, though. They still had a decent third down defense with nobody. Like, that defensive line was terrible a year ago. Still had a decent third down defense. So my 5 stems both from the players that they got, but more so, you know, just an immense faith in Mike Zimmer's defense. I don't perhaps carry that same faith throughout, you know, all of the aspects of being a head coach, but the defensive side, I do think that they can and maybe even should be a top 5 defense.
I don't think that you're being, well, this is why we're taking the test, by
right.
the way.
I guess we're finding out as we go.
To find out exactly how far. But I don't think like any of these takes are illogical for how far you're pushing your meter to the strongly agree so far. It's just like, how much do you believe in some of the players that they brought in and how they're all going to come together? And based on Zimmer's track record, they had top 5 defense in either yards or points like every single year outside of 2014 and last year. So it's not a crazy take. It's just, you're believing it a little bit more than I am. Because I think that those questions need to be answered first about not having the extra pass rushers and just like how the secondary is going to gel. Like Xavier Woods, we don't know how he's going to fit with Harrison Smith and Peterson and Breland. And like, can Cam Dantzler stay healthy? Or how's Alexander going to, you know, come back in? So all those things need to kind of be answered for me, but I don't think it's an illogical take. All right. Question number four, or comment number four, or statement number four. The offensive supporting cast around Kirk Cousins is way better than last year.
Ooh, the supporting cast. Now, just for clarity, does this include everything from the offensive coordinator to the offensive line?
Yes.
Everything
you
around
can,
him.
Yes, you can include offensive coordinator in supporting cast.
Is it better than last year? I, you know, this might be crazy. I'm going to give a two here.
Okay.
I think that there's a fair case to be made that the offensive line got worse, a fair case to be made that the offensive play caller got worse. We don't know anything about Clint Kubiak's play calling. Maybe he'll be better than his Super Bowl winning father. For now, I'm skeptical. You know, I think that they made the right choice in getting rid of Kyle Rudolph, but I don't know that subtracting Kyle Rudolph makes the tight ends instantly better. They played with two tight ends more than any team, so it's not like Irv Smith didn't get opportunity last year, and now he's simply going to break out because he's the number one tight end. He was still on the field a ton last year. Their depth wide receivers, I would argue, did not get better. Can you expect the same thing from Justin Jefferson? I think so. He's very good, but that's a high bar to set. Can you expect the same thing from Dalvin Cook? He's very good, but that's a high bar that he set. He's got a ton of weapons around him, but I'm not necessarily sold that every single thing around him is better than a year ago.
Yeah, for me, the left tackle situation is a huge part of this. Like, let's not overlook that left tackle is probably the second most important position on the field on offense, and Riley Reiff was just darn good. And when you look at their schedule, I know I've brought this up a number of times on the show, but their schedule features a lot of great pass rushers, and if it's Rashad Hill, I think Rashad Hill can play. Do I think Rashad Hill could be better than Riley Reiff last year? Absolutely not. Do I think even Christian Darrisaw can be better than Reiff last year? Absolutely not. Is D.D. Westbrook different than Tajae Sharpe or Kendall Wright or Jordan Taylor or Laquon Treadwell? Like, yes, but by how much? Because Tajae Sharpe was, oh, he's done this before, and Kendall Wright had like 57 catches the year he came here and then did nothing. And Westbrook doesn't even come here fully healthy and on a $1 million deal. So it's very hard for someone to say, well, come on, they got Westbrook. 1 year, $1 million means the whole league was not super high on this idea. So I'm not going to go crazy saying that that's way better. I think it's a good move, but I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, it's way better. Same with a fifth round receiver like Smith Marset. Last year, we were talking about Alexander Hollins, just like we are KJ Osborne right now. And with Dalvin Cook, it does concern me how much workload he got last year. I have the same number. I have two as well. So right now you have surpassed the roof collapsing though. So that's,
I'm not sure you have, you're at 10.
You at least are higher on it than the roof collapsing. Okay. Fifth statement. One is strongly disagree. Five is strongly agree. I have no concerns at all about the kicking.
I mean, it's the Vikings. So that automatically takes off 4 and 5 just by virtue of the franchise. Yes. Greg Joseph and Riley Patterson, where do they fall on a 1 through 3 for me? I mean, I have a hard time going above 2. I haven't seen either of them in a preseason game. Let's see how they handle, you know, Mike Zimmer in a preseason game saying that he's going to start going for 2 because Riley Patterson missed an extra point. Am I extremely worried about it? Probably not, I guess. I'm sure they're fine. I don't have a whole lot to say about them other than they're probably fine, but it's still the Vikings. They're still kickers. It's still extremely important. It's still a head coach who does not have a great track record with kickers. So I think I'll go with a 2.
Yeah, I also went with a 2 because, well, not only just kickers, but Greg Joseph has 1 year of kicking in the NFL. Riley Patterson is an undrafted free agent who is on the pup list to start off the season. The only reason I did consider going higher is that it actually couldn't be worse. Like, Dan Bailey and the Vikings were the worst kicking team in the NFL last year. So you can't do lower than the worst. Even if Greg Joseph was the same as himself in Cleveland, it would probably be fine. But to say that I have no concerns when you automatically need to have concerns just based on the franchise and where we're standing right now, that is one that I think is a big concern. I think this question also sort of speaks to special teams in general, that they were very poor last year, and there's a lot of things they're going to have to show to change that. Like, do they have a punt returner? Do they have a kick returner? That kind of thing. So we're both at two.
And we're five questions in, correct?
Yeah.
I'm starting to get the sense that your score is not going to be very high with a 5 questions in.
This is why you take the quiz. You never know enough. Which Disney princess
Sometimes
you're going to be.
Sometimes you think you're going to be Cinderella and you turn out to be...
Little Mermaid.
We're going to brush up on our Disney princesses. Don't worry.
When were those made that we just named, like 1947? All right. Sixth statement is fans being back in the stands will be a massive advantage for the Vikings.
So I hate to say this because I love having fans at games. I don't think it makes quite as big of a difference as teams and fans would like to tell themselves. Unfortunately, I think if you look at the record of home teams and you know, the point spread that they should be getting, it has gone down even before year by year. It's gone down even before the pandemic. But having said all of that, I do think that the Vikings have a home field advantage that some other teams don't. So I think I'm just going to go right down the middle with this one. I think this is a 3 for me. Does home field advantage make a world of a difference? No. You know, I think the numbers bear that out. I think the fact that it's, you know, indoors bears that out. But that said, I think the Vikings do have a home field advantage, so I'm going to give them a 3.
I'm going to go 4 on this because that place last year was miserable, and there were several games that I thought they would have won if they had fans in the stands. The game against Dallas, Tennessee. Tennessee has a fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah, Tennessee.
There were game-winning drives last year against the Vikings at home that I'm not sure would have happened if they had fans in the stands, because we've seen, especially when it's not Drew Brees or something, we've seen quarterbacks just melt in big spots against the Vikings. We've even seen this from Aaron Rodgers, where he struggles sometimes against the Vikings defense, and albeit they were good, but I expect them to be good still. If there were fans in the stands last year, they're still a bad defense, but they're not as bad. And I especially think that it helps in the red zone, third down situations.
Defense,
yeah.
And I will say, for all the stadiums we go to, U.S. Bank Stadium at its loudest is louder than,
yes,
I think, anywhere else that we've been.
Yeah, I have not. Superdome is the only place.
Sure, yes.
Yeah.
That was a miss on my part. Yep, Superdome.
Yep, that's the only place where I was sitting next to Sam Ekstrom in the playoff game, and he could not hear me, right, just trying to talk to him. All right, statement number 7. COVID will not be a problem at all.
Oh, no. COVID will not, be a problem at all. Well, we know that the league does not want to move games. I think that they're going to do everything in their power to play the games. So part of me is optimistic because I'm vaccinated. I like that Minnesota has done well getting the vaccine, but I'm going to say a 3 because while there are a lot of teams who have done very well getting the vaccine, the Vikings, you know, as far as we know, don't seem to be one of them. You know, even if you have only 70% of your locker room vaccinated, that's certainly a lot better than nothing and better than last year. And there's a chance that things go off without a hitch with those numbers. But at the same time, by all accounts, some of their best players are the ones so far who are not vaccinated. So it's hard for me to go higher than a 3, so I'm just going to go with a 3.
I feel the same way. I also go with a 3 here because I do think the Vikings players who are not vaccinated, the ones that we've sort of figured out by who's wearing masks, I'm not going to try to call those players out necessarily because I don't want to be wrong, and there are some players who might wear masks anyway because this is something that's being mentioned as a possibility for just general society. So I don't want to say for sure a guy who has a mask is not vaccinated, but it appears they have a number of stars that are not. And if you have an outbreak and you lose several stars for a game, you're just going to lose. If you lose your quarterback, your wide receiver, or your star defensive tackle, I'm again not calling particular people out, but if you lose these people, you might end up with some L's. And so I am concerned about that, but I also think that these are players who followed the protocols last year, and it was not necessarily an issue. I think Adam Thielen missed one game due to COVID protocol, and that was it, maybe for the whole season. Riley Reiff in the very last game also missed. So they didn't have much of a problem.
That and his million dollars that he ended up just taking with him on his way to Cincinnati.
Yes, that they were trying to like woo him back with, and ultimately he just took. Good for you, Riley.
Yeah.
So I'll go a three there. You'll go a three there. That leaves you at 22.
Okay, my prediction was 24.
And now you get a free space.
Oh, press boy, you're box, at 19.
Yeah, press box food will be back to full strength this year. So if you're playing
I
along...
I don't know that this is a free space.
Oh, you don't think so? I thought this was an, like,
an
auto
five.
I'm not
ready to say five.
Really? Okay. I thought this was an auto five because it couldn't be worse than frozen bananas last year.
Oh, so it's better, not that it will be back to its glory.
I did say back to full strength.
Okay.
I was expecting that it would be back
to
full strength.
I'll say four. Say four.
Okay. All right. Very negative about the food then.
Well, I cherish the omelet bar and the fried chicken and waffle stand before noon games. And we'll see. I'm not ready to give that a five like it seems you might be.
Okay. So if you are then playing at home, do it this way. Instead of press box food, which is my concern, just the stadium.
Your concessions.
The stadium experience or whatever.
Yep.
The stadium experience when you return will be back to full strength. Okay, so
am I giving you a five for that?
So you finished, give me a five.
Okay.
You got a four. You finished with 26, which puts you barely over into the wild card win.
Wow, all
right. Where did I finish?
You finished with a wild card loss.
Oh, okay.
24 points, just barely reaching that wild card win. Turns out all you needed was one more point along the way, and they're winning a playoff game.
So
if that comes back to haunt them, just remember you gave a three somewhere instead of a four.
I was going to say, and this is what it will ultimately come down to, is I gave the kicking a two. And if I had given it a three, they make the kick to win the wild card game. Instead, it goes wide left.
This is going to be haunting to listen to in early January.
Right. So neither one of us were at Super Bowl, baby. Neither one of us were at multiple playoff wins, which I think, tell me if you agree with this. I had a really good conversation with Eric Eager of PFF about expectations for this team and how Las Vegas is actually different than I think the fan base. Vegas has them as a mid-pack type team, a team that would lose a playoff game in the wild card. And I think the expectations here for fans and within the organization is 30 to 35. If we were having people in the organization fill this out, I think they end up with 30 to 35. Why do you think that is, that there seems to be this gap in terms of expectations?
Well, so I think some of it started with the Green Bay drama and some eyebrows being raised at first and the potential of, oh my God, are we going to be favorites in the division if Aaron Rodgers doesn't report? What if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play? We're the number one team. We're sitting pretty. So I think some of it stems from that. I think the other part of it is you look at last year and the offense was good. All that was missing was defense and special teams. I think you look at special teams and say, new coordinator, new kicker, new perhaps punt returner, new perhaps kick returner. Like there's some reasons that the special team is going to be different. Not saying that they're going to make every kick, but it has to be better. It can't possibly get worse. They, you know, were maybe the worst kicking team. Were the worst punt return team. Their kick return, they were just bad across the board. And then you know the other phase of the game is defense, and nobody expects the defense to be as bad as they were a year ago. The question is, how good can they be? In training camp, everybody's in the best shape of their lives and ready to go, and you've only heard great things about why the team signed Dalvin Tomlinson and Michael Pierce coming back and all these things. So expectations, I think, are incredibly high for the defense, which is why I think they're incredibly high for the team.
Want to remind you to go to SodaStick.com to get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. If you have not seen it yet, you've got to check it out. A couple of my favorite designs are the Duck Duck Gray Duck and the Randy Moss Goat, which you've got to see. All their apparel is screen-printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies. You will love it. We're going to hook you up with free shipping on your next order. By the way, use
promo code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping. That's SodaStick, SotaStick.com. Original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. Code PURPLEINSIDER for free shipping.
And I think that it's totally okay to assume that the things that went right last year, of which we act like there were none, are going to be right again. Mm-hmm. But I also think that if they're not, then we're talking about similar results. So let's say the defense is better and the fans impact them and the kicking is better and all these things. But let's say that, you know, Rashad Hill gets hurt and Christian Darrisaw isn't ready, or Brian O'Neill gets hurt, or Justin Jefferson gets hurt, or whatever it might be. Like last year, the offense was healthy the whole season, almost 100%. Kirk Cousins has been healthy his whole career. And there's no reason to think the quarterback gets hurt. But if the quarterback misses two games, it's a huge loss and a massive drop off. Delvin Cook is one of the best players in the NFL last year. If he's not one of the best players in the NFL this year, if he's like second half Delvin, that's, you know, three quarters the speed of first half Delvin. I mean, if the schedule is harder, if the defenses are harder that they face, I think they face two teams the whole season, two games against teams that finish in the top 10 in QB rating against. Well, what if it's five? What if it's six? So, you know, there's a lot of things that I kind of go back and forth about. And even when you look at like last year, oh, if we just did this, we would have won that game. I mean, they were actually, in terms of that regression or luck, an average team in close game luck. So it wasn't like, oh, well, they just got really unlucky. So I guess that's why it's like the things we can't predict are the ones that could get you. And I don't know how to like make that into a take other than just to say that there are things that could happen along the way that did not happen last year that could this year, that could sort of derail everything. It's like if everything clicks together, could they be in the NFC Championship game? Absolutely they could. That's why we took the survey.
Well, I think they've kind of been this team for 3 years where if things go really well, yep, they can go to New Orleans and beat a Hall of Famer on the road in the playoffs. If things go poorly, they can, you know, win seven games and have a bad defense and be not a very good team. Like it's a pretty volatile spot where they are, where I do think they have a decently high ceiling. I don't think it's a Super Bowl ceiling, but I think they have a pretty high ceiling, but they also have a pretty low floor where what if Patrick Peterson just isn't very good anymore? He led the league in penalties last year and got beat quite a bit. What if they have no pass rush outside of Danielle Hunter, for as good as he is coming off of a serious injury? Pierce isn't known for his pass rush. Tomlinson isn't known for his pass rush. Weatherly's numbers aren't as good as Afadi Adenigbo's. What if the third linebacker spot matters a lot and you just don't have anybody? What if Cameron Dantzler gets hurt? Like, there are a bunch of what ifs that could lead you to a low floor. And, you know, I personally think it's kind of fun to follow a team with this kind of volatility. We'll see where it ends up going. But kind of like last year, I think it's a team that could come out 1 week and lead you to say, oh my God, they are really good. And then the very next week, lay a stinker and be like, these guys are terrible. They're not going to the playoffs.
That's who they've been really with Kirk Cousins, is that on a given week, you could really believe that they're a great team. I remember after the win in Dallas, I think it was on Sunday Night Football, where we sort of declared like, wow, okay, they've taken this next step and so forth. And then they played Green Bay a few weeks later at home and got smashed by a team that was good. And that has sort of been their MO as a team, is if they're playing someone good, they probably lose. If they're playing someone bad, they probably win. And then there's a stinker thrown in there that really shocks us. Change that this year and you could be quite different. Don't even change it by winning all the games against winning teams, but just a couple. Yeah. And it could be different this year. But when you feel like the schedule and its strength will determine where you go.
Right.
And we don't know a lot of things on the schedule. We do know Rodgers is back, but we don't know about Justin Fields or Trey Lance and how teams are going to look as you go along. We don't even know how Joe Burrow is going to look in week one.
Their first two games, Cincinnati is a, I think, pretty volatile team. Arizona is a pretty volatile team. Like, some people think Arizona's ready to, you know, compete for that division with two other great teams in it. And, you know, it also wouldn't surprise me if Arizona won six games. Like, would that be that shocking?
No.
So, you know, they also, I guess, have a lot of volatile teams. Perhaps I think that just says something about the middle tier in the NFL.
Yes.
Where there's a lot of teams with high ceilings and low floors.
Okay, let me give you this real quick, and then I've got one more fun question for you, and then we can run out to practice because we're late for practice anyway. So I tried yesterday in the Friday mailbag to lay out the teams that I thought were decidedly worse, decidedly better, and probably the same as the Vikings. And I'm trying to find this real quick because it was a great question for Friday Mailbag.
How many teams roughly were in kind of that tier?
There were a lot, though, in the middle tier. So hold on, I'm scrolling and I'll find it in just a second. But I think what I found to your point is, okay, I've got it. The teams that I had in the NFC, definitely the Vikings are better than the Eagles, Lions, and Panthers. You agree with that?
Agreed.
Decidedly better.
Yep.
They're probably better than the Giants, Saints, and Falcons.
I would probably move the Giants to they're definitely better than the Giants. Okay. But yes, agreed.
Fair. Too close to call, I have Washington, Dallas, Chicago, Arizona, and LA.
God, that's a big group, and LA is the only one that scares me in that. That was the only one that gives me pause that I might say LA is probably better.
The high end of LA is probably better. I just don't believe in it. Matt Stafford, I'm sorry.
Pushing
man.
Back on how, you know, Matt Stafford was kind of a middling quarterback for in the eyes of so many, and then he goes to a good offensive coach and everybody says, "Oh my God, he's like the sixth best quarterback in the league." Well, we'll see.
At the same time, Kerry Collins went to a Super Bowl once, so you never know. and Joe Flacco, like, is Stafford not Joe Flacco? Right. And eventually it did click once. They're probably not better than the Packers, Bucks, Seahawks, 49ers.
You only said probably on these? Well, I mean, they're definitely not better than the Packers.
I didn't get to definitely not better than. Like,
okay.
That's not
so
a,
there's
that's
not an
category.
Above category.
No, this,
okay.
Yeah, this is the yes. highest category.
So I would agree with all those teams. I would just say they're definitely not better than those teams.
Yeah, that's how I had it, is
gotcha.
That the Vikings
yep.
are
fair enough.
Probably slash definitely not better than the Packers, Bucks, Seattle. So that puts you right in that ballpark.
I will say I'm not as sold on Seattle. I would probably bump them a notch to Seattle's probably better, but I'm not sold on Seattle being a great team this year.
Here's the way I think of that is last year, Seattle was kind of a bleep show. Their defense was trash. Their quarterback was fighting with their coaching staff. They went 12-4. The Vikings have two seasons like that since 1998.
Yeah, fair
their
enough.
Their quarterback
that's fair.
Is
that's
really
fair.
Good.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
and their quarterback yeah. hating the game plan, hating the coach, still won 12 games. Okay, that's fair.
He's really good. Okay, I just wanted to ask you the most obnoxious training camp story in the NFL, not Rodgers. You can't say Rodgers. But a thing that you're seeing all over the NFL, everyone's talking about this, that, or the other thing.
So we kind of touched
be best,
on it.
It used to be best shape of your life that was annoying. No one says that anymore.
Oh, so you're not talking about a very specific.
No, just very, very specific is fine. Whatever it comes to mind for you that's like just super obnoxious and you wish would go away.
We touched on it briefly. I think it's Stafford suddenly being yeah. an amazing quarterback. Yeah. Like even in Sando's quarterback tiers, which are always excellent and always fun to read, suddenly he jumps up like five spots. He wasn't, his numbers didn't drastically improve. He just went to a different team. Like, yes, I have immense respect for McVay and, you know, he's in a much better situation than Detroit, but that doesn't automatically make him a better quarterback. I think he'll be good. I think he was good. Like, that's about where I think he is. He's good. He's, you know, you could do better. You could do a lot worse. He's good. And yet, because he's in a new situation, everybody's talking about him as, you know, an MVP candidate. What are we talking about?
It's just so 2018 Vikings-y that I can't get over it. I can't get past that. I was going to say Madden ratings. I am extremely, unbelievably done with this player doesn't. And I'm the respect to Justin Jefferson, who is, quote, going to use it as motivation. Justin already seems pretty motivated to me. I don't think that there's like more motivation. I don't know.
They say that there's not a single player that was like, oh, okay, well, I wasn't motivated, but I got a 91 in speed. Watch how fast I can run now.
It's just, I see the Pro Football Talk headlines every day. This player thinks he should have been rated higher on Madden. Justin Jefferson said it right. It's a video game. Like,
it's a video
come
game.
Come on, man. Come on. People are mad that like Matt Ryan is rated like 10th or something. Who cares? I mean, as a gamer, Who cares? It's not a story. It's just not a story.
Submission for your next mailbag. List out the quarterbacks. Definitely better than Cousins. Probably better than Cousins. Around the same as Cousins. And Cousins is definitely better than.
That's what Madden thinks of how much they're better than would be also a thing I would not write about. So anyway, that is actually an article on purpleinsider.substack.com I did earlier this year with their schedule, like better, right. Worse, same, yep. Kirk Cousins for their schedule. So the problem with Kirk is it's like the group that's similar to him is even bigger.
Massive.
Than the group. Yeah, yeah. It's like it's very big. So anyway, well, thank you for filling out my survey. Thank you for taking all of your time as we got to run out to practice here.
Playoff and, loss in the wild card round. You heard it here first via here. 26 points.
Well, that was me. You had them winning. You have them going to the division.
Oh, I had them
winning.
Yeah. Of course. Who could forget? Yes. Yeah.
This is a negative podcast, obviously.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back again. Night practice. That'll be the next time you hear from us. All right. Later.